I got asked a few minutes ago to introduce somebody that I probably need more of an introduction than Dorian does. We've been familiar with Dorian for quite some time. We have, I'm pretty sure, aided in a well or two being dug. So we have a vested interest in what goes on in South Africa. Dorian is with us, and he's going to talk to us about some great things going on in Africa. Picture this in 2019 or 2020. Somebody comes to a local community, an area, and says, I want to build you a high school. So I'm sure everybody's lining up with hands out, wanting to take part of that. And then they say, but we're going to teach God. We're going to teach all those kids about Jesus. And I can just picture hands going in pockets and people backing up and saying, yeah, we really don't do that in our schools here. Well, they do in Zimbabwe. It's... In fact, it's welcomed over there, which is, I'm not sure that's a very good statement about America right now, but that's another discussion. My wife and daughter went to see Dorian in Zimbabwe in 2015, and they both loved the experience, and Susan still talks about it on a regular basis. Susan and I are going this June, from about the middle to the end of June. And while I'm here, we'd love for anybody else that wants to go along to go with us. Susan has the information, and we are recruiting anybody that wants to go to come go with us. And while I'm up here, we have next Sunday is Harvest Sunday. What we can afford to give next Sunday will aid in what Dorian does in South Africa and all the other mission fields that we support. So, I'm going to ask you to pray and give as you can next Sunday. Okay, back to Dorian. I told you about me and a microphone thing. Dorian's going to build the high school, along with a few other people. It started out with helping people with whales and building a medical clinic. And as Dorian was telling me earlier, this was all part of his plan. And he's not going to be satisfied stopping with a high school. But I'm going to let him tell y'all about that. It really is my pleasure to introduce Dorian Flynn.
Thank you, Mark. And I'm so glad that Mark and Susan are going to go with us. And yes, I would like to agree with his sentiments. Anybody else that wants to come? Maybe Africa's been on your bucket list. Well, maybe now's the time. I want you to come. I saw Sister Sylvia a little while ago, and I said, you know, I look forward to coming to Henderson every year, and you all have been a part of this work, and so when I called Bob, Bob is always warm and welcoming. I mean, you know that, and the pains are that way, but I said to Bob, he said, what do you want? Would you like to teach a class or preach? And I said, listen, if Tom is teaching, I want to sit in his class. Because last year when I was here, I took notes and I've shared some of his thoughts even when I was in Africa when I left. And so I know that that's a loss here for the family here, for his family, but a life well lived, and glad that I knew him a little bit. I'm so thankful to be here. There are people visiting. And of course some you know real well, like Michael and Holly, Agood, but they special to Sherry and I. When we first moved to Nacogdoches, we had a little boy. Well, we had two older kids, and then 6 years later, another came. And so she just helped take care of Landon and get him assimilated in school, and we will always love her and appreciate her for that. And Michael in his own right helped us get a house, and so they're special to us, and it's great to see you all. It really is. Well, things are happening in Africa. I'm not going to stand here, and you're going to hear the same old things that you did last year, because we are moving forward. This is my wife, Sherry. We're heading back in December, and she's with the grandkids right now, and so I'm second rung, and apparently you are too. But she's been with them. She was wanting to come, but one of our grandchildren got sick, and our daughter is sick, so she's stepping up in the gap. But this was in a new country, Lesotho. We are working in 5 countries now. We began in Zimbabwe. We're working in 5 Southern African countries. The reason I want to show you this is a teacher from Kentucky that came with us. We had shipped a container to Lesotho. You've helped with the clothes. You've helped with the wells. I mean, you've been an integral part. So we're walking into Sunday morning service. He sits down and in walks this guy with a Kentucky hoodie, you know? I just thought, listen, I have walked down the street in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, and I've seen an SFA t-shirt. I mean, just from all that we have said. And then I'll say this too, you know, that I've also seen Roll Tide walking down the street too, you know, because a lot of people from Alabama have given as well. This is special right here. Just wanted to share with you this guy that's standing next to me, because we have begun a new thrust in our evangelism. We have helped the poor. We are doing all kinds of things to help the poor. We are wanting to reach all stratas of society in Africa. And so now we're going into the universities with students who come from families that are privileged, but they are educated. And we want them to know about Jesus Christ. And so the man that's standing next to me is a scientist. His name is Mike Houts. He's a deacon actually for a congregation in near Huntsville, but he's a scientist at NASA, and he is part of the team that his goal is to put somebody on Mars. He's a super intelligent man and yet so humble. And so we go into universities there, and he's doing seminars, and he'll begin his seminar and he'll talk about some of the things he knows about space travel. And those students and that faculty, they'll just sit there, you know. And then he'll say, but I want you to know that I believe this was all created. This wasn't an accident. And I want to share a few thoughts with you about the designer. And so we've had a lot of inroads as far as that's concerned. You helped us with the wells, 83 wells in 11 years. We thought if we could do, it was supposed to be, our goal was 50 wells in 10 years. So you know that we're over that. We began in Zimbabwe and you've been a part of it. The North Street Church has been a huge part of it. We have a chili supper once a year where they raise money for wells, but you can see all the countries and you can see. One of the things I want to tell you is when we drill a well, yes, they get clean water, and yes, we bring in drip irrigation, and they basically eat organic vegetables. It changes their life expectancy from about 35 years, you know. But I want you to know that we get to send young ladies back to school, because that's who goes and gets the water. And so every well we drill, there are young girls and young ladies that are heading back to school and getting their education, which for most part in Africa is their only door out. So we are thankful for that. So I want you to see, I want you to experience a little bit. This was a well we did. They were walking about 3 miles, okay, one way to go get water out of a dry riverbed. They dig, 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 and then they bring the water back, okay? So that's the whole day. So now we've drilled a well in their village. This to them is like indoor plumbing. I'm serious, but I just want you to kind of get a feel of that. Just about 10 seconds. And she has a smile on her face, let me tell you, so thankful. We are so blessed, we are so far past that, you know, but to them that is just awesome. I just want you to kind of see what they have to do to fill it. So, but as opposed to walking 3 miles and then bringing the buckets back home, so thank you for what you've helped do. So here we have 1,500 people that are enjoying this well. This is the last well that we have done. 1,500 served. Clean water. And from our wells, just in 2019, we've had that many people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you, it's a pattern of Christ's ministry, isn't it? I mean, Jesus healed the sick. He fed the hungry. And what does that do? It opens doors to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The end game is not physical water. The end game is living water. But boy, I tell you what, it gets us up and running, doesn't it? And we rejoice in moments like that. This is the Mom Project, making orphan meals. And we feed 1,200. We have been feeding 1,200. We're about to double it now. We're going to get up to, we're about to add 1,500 more children. So we're going to be feeding about 2,500 children, a week. 50 cents a plate, you know, we're thankful for that. This is our commercial kitchen. These ladies have fed 200 children for 7 years. And they get up at 5 a.m. and they don't get a penny. Because all of our good works is done by people that look at it as their ministry. And so there are actually 7 of these ladies there. But I just think it's just tremendous. Okay, so let me tell you what globally doesn't change. If you were given food and you were given a lollipop and you were told doesn't matter when you eat it, what would you eat first? Oh, of course. And that's global, by the way. the guy in the green sweatshirt, he didn't even know what it was. He looked at it, you know, and then I had to unwrap the paper, and then I started sucking it, and then he got it real quick. But a few years ago, I was in the bush there, and I pulled out some Hubba Bubba, and I started chewing it, you know, and blowing bubbles, walking right through all these children, and they just, what in the world? Never seen chewing gum before. And then suddenly I throw it out to them, boy. Some of them, when they first started, you know, the chewing gum hit the dirt, you know, I threw them a few more packs, but they were blowing bubbles. It didn't take them long, boy. Quick learners. Shine stands for spiritually helping and nurturing and equipping. And so we feed them, we give them water, we do a lot of other things, but we want them to know Jesus Christ. And so this past summer, believe it or not, because I've looked for a shortcut to Africa, there is no shortcut. We had 78 people join us this past year. From young people, their senior trip at high school, from all the way to retirees, they came. And so we went into public schools because of all the things we give, textbooks and all of that. We went into 5 public schools. We taught over 2,000 children, and we were given on an average between 2 to 3 hours a day to teach them, and we could teach what we wanted. And I mean, just such a blessing. So our theme was the wise man and the foolish man. And they liked that. Oh, this guy was, he's a youth minister from Columbus, Georgia. And he did that song. You're familiar with hip, 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 hippopotamus? I don't know. Okay, you got that one. But Africa, of course, that's a great one. So he did it normal speed. Then he did it fast. Then he did hip, hip, hip. And they love the slow motion, boy. They just thought that was awesome. Yeah. So this is our son, Lee. He's our oldest son. We have 3 children, Laura and Lee and Landon. And Lee is 11 years sober. And if he had to stand here today, he'd tell you, I'm an alcoholic. But he does everything that he can. And now he is utilizing all of this. I mean, he speaks all over the United States and now in Africa there with all those young people. And when he shares his story, you know, you sit back as a father and you know when your children do things, how proud you are, you know. And you sit back as a father and you hear your son speak. And then you see these young people open up to him. One girl put up her hand and she said, I don't know if I'm an alcoholic or not, but I drink all the time. And Lee said, well, tell me more of your story. She says, I was raped. And she said, I just drink to try to forget. But to see all these young people broken themselves or hit in, and here is someone saying, listen, I've been there. Here's the path. You know, he's called Jesus. And so this is my grandson. He's my oldest grandson. He's 15 and he was with the VBS. He's 15. He's gone to Africa 5 times. And there's Shaq Arrington. I don't know if some of you know Shaq Arrington. He's from around Nacogdoches. I think he's preached at Wascom and Garrison and that. But he comes every year and helps to teach. We, up to this point, have had 897 baptisms, and the reason I put that other number there is because I want you to know we're not talking about in the front door and out the back door. It's 79% retention, and I tell you what we do. When someone comes out of the water soaking wet, we already connect them with a fellowship group from the particular congregation that they are with, and they'll go visit and whatever. They are then plugged into separate group that just Bible study, intensive Bible study, and then they are plugged into a third group which helps in our good works with the orphans, you know, going to public schools, whatever. We get them connected in three different levels. Now we have an advantage over you in America because we don't have the distractions you have. And I want you to know that I have sympathy. Well, I shouldn't say sympathy. My heart goes out to ministers here and the Christians here because you live in the wealthiest country in the world. I mean, America is just unbelievable. It's fantastic. Everywhere I travel in the world, it's always second for what we have. And yet, it can also be a terrible negative. But because they have such little resources, when they plug into an active body of people, it's kind of like, man, we've arrived, you know? Besides knowing Jesus, but by all the things that comes with that. So we are thankful for that. So now we begin this new program, and this is what I want to just share with you briefly, and I'll sit down. We're beginning, it's called FED, and it stands for Food Education and Discipleship, and it's where Mark had mentioned about the school. We have an area where we drilled a well, and when we opened up the well, community leaders came and said, we don't have a clinic or hospital anyway. We have babies, newborns, we have elderly that die all the time because the nearest medical facility is 35 to 40 miles away. They got no transport. Is there any chance you could build a clinic? And I said, yeah, the Churches of Christ will build a clinic if you can give us land. And they gave us 4 acres. And we opened up that clinic in September 2017, and we've had over 400 babies born there, by the way. And the nurse said to me, Brother Flynn, a fertile area. I said, I think so. And so we do a lot of other things at the clinic. But then one of the things we do is we inoculate all the children in the area that have lacked that through the years. So we have them lined up. So I said, show me all the primary schools so we can get them all lined up. And then show me your high school. And they said, there is no high school. There never has been a high school. So we have, so there are 2,000, about 2,500 children that just leave school and there's no high school. So I said, if you'll give us land, we'll build a Christian high school. You know what that means? That means we have monopoly, total monopoly. All these kids are coming out of these primary schools and they're going to come into this Christian school where we're going to teach and show Jesus every day. Now that just, to me, that just excites me more. I tell you what, right now, I'm praying the prayer of Hezekiah, you know, 15 more years, Lord, or whatever, you know. This right here, so we are developing a relationship with these schools. Some of these schools, they don't have this school right here, Amazon Primary, and that's the 4 schools that we have right there that are closer in. They don't have no water. So we're drilling the well for them. You think of that relationship? So what we want to do is get ourselves all, infiltrate all the other 4 schools so that when they come, we're all on the same page as the high school begins. So this is Amazon Christian High School, and this is my daughter, Laura, you saw her other son, oldest one. This is the second one on the left there, and he made the sign for us. He's quite a you know, aspiring artist, and he did the sign for us. So we asked for land. We said we'll do a Christian high school. They gave us 70 acres, and now they've turned around and given us 25 more acres. Can you imagine? I think you can do a lot with 95 acres for a high school, don't you think? I'm excited myself. So here's the school. This is our campus now. We're going to open the end of next year, but this is some of our faculty housing, our storage building. It's going to be, and let me tell you what, once you build this, that roof will stay. If you've got an infant son right now, that roof there will stay until they finish their life on earth. That's what it's like there. Somebody said, well, don't you have tornadoes and hurricanes? I said, well, listen, man, we've got drought. That's enough, you know? So, and we don't have AC and you know, heat and central heat, central air. We don't have that there. So once you build that, and let me tell you, the only wood is the trusses. Those walls are solid brick and concrete. So you are there once it's built. So this is the building, the foundation to our classroom wing, our first class, our freshman classroom wing. Somebody said to me, Dorian, where's the equipment? I said, that is the equipment right there. I said, you don't need any time fitness. Let me tell you, those boys are chiseled, man. I'm telling you, that's how we did our, so anyway, we've got our slab poured. We've got going up there and so that's a classroom wing. That's there. No AC, once we build it. And do you know that the walls on the outside are the same as the walls on the inside? Because we're not going to plaster them or cover them. Because we know what children do. They write, they dirty up and everything. But brick, it's hard to mess with that, man. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to bring in a faculty and staff that are native Africans that are going to have a minimal amount of overhead. We would not build this, and by the way, we haven't built that. That's the toilets that we've got to build now. It's going to cost about $18,000, so that's what I'm working on right now. By the way, that's our sports field, and we're getting that graded right now as well. And we had a Mars Hill Bible School in Florence, Alabama, gave us 100 desks and chairs, so we're good there. We would not build a high school, and we would not build a university, which you want to, and we would not build a clinic, unless we could fund it there. Now, granted, I'm here and I'm raising funds to build it. But nothing lasts. You can't have self-propagation unless you've got income streams there. Because churches change. Leadership changes. Emphasis changes. How's a church ever going to grow in Africa unless it becomes independent from all of us across the pond? So what we are doing right now, while I'm raising funds to build these facilities, we are developing income streams. Agriculture is one. That's 10,000 head of cabbage that we've already sold. There's me. Now, you can see I'm not the tallest of guys, but I'm a pretty tall guy. And I'm standing amongst 18,000 tomato plants. And those tomato plants, that one crop paid for our clinic for the whole year, a free clinic, by the way. So we've got, then we've got the cabbage, and then we've got the corn coming, and then we've got watermelons and squash after that. Because the seasons in Zimbabwe are 9 months summer and 3 months early spring. So you just keep going, buddy. Just keep going, you know? Of course, you have to rotate your land and that. I understand that, but you know? So we've got that income stream. We've got agriculture. Oh yes, we've got beef too. We're a little over 100 head right now, and we're about to go to 400 head. That's our goal. Once we get to 400 head, we'll get 80 to 100,000 a year just selling our calves and not even touching our herd, as it were, still growing. So we've got that second income stream. And so, we're also planting orchards. We're about to begin it in December because that's summertime there. So we're going to do mango and orange, and we're going to grow seedlings so that other farmers can come buy from us and get their tomatoes or whatever going. And we're beginning fish farming, tilapia, you know, school fees, and then a solo farm. So we are doing enough income streams that when one is down 1 year, maybe. Well, someone says, why does the agriculture work so well in Africa? Well, let me tell you, we drill wells, if I hadn't told you. So what does that mean? That means we can grow vegetables in the off season when nobody else has. So this is a cyclone that we just helped in. You know, we send these containers, you've sent clothes before, and we've helped so many people. They had this massive cyclone. And by the way, it's kind of like a hurricane, and I did not like the name of that last hurricane, by the way.
Yeah.
But this cyclone, we helped. And that was a soccer field, by the way. That was a soccer field, and all that cyclone came with the boulders just came down from the mountains. So we spent helping. That's mass graves. There's probably 5 to 6 bodies in each grave. But we had a container arrive from the U.S., and we were able to distribute to people. this guy on the right that has our shirt on it, he works with us. He's part of our team, Haley Malangani. And they were walking down. He said, I was walking there in this storm, you know, ridden, destroyed area. And he says, here was this couple. And he says they were just about completely naked. They had no clothes. It was all washed away and everything. And he said, man, we got them the clothes and then we gave them, you know, another pair. But the people were just clamoring. We gave them food as well. So let me just close with this, because this is what it's about. Maybe it's your favorite song. The Lord is my shepherd. Meaning what? Meaning that I'm not in charge anymore. Meaning that I've given up my principality for the kingdom of God. And when I do that, there are so many riches and blessings that come to my life that makes it so fulfilling that I guarantee you, when you walk in the will of God, you'll never be bored. So this is part of, this lady, Sister Moyo, is a widow. She's mid-70s. And her house is at the end of a street. And on the other side is a field. And there's a broken down truck that's been stripped. And there were people living in there. And the couple, one morning she got up and she heard it sounded like a newborn to her. Very young. She went up there, climbed up in the truck. The parents had gone. They just left the baby there, newborn. And so she got the newborn. She told the authorities. The authority says, we don't have anywhere to keep her. She said, well, I will keep her and my church will help me. And Nobuli now is 3 years old. And she has been with Sister Moyo that time. And Sister Moyo said, I might not ever see her graduate from high school, but she says, I will take care of her as long as I can. Well, the church has already come together and she doesn't know it yet, but she has a full scholarship of primary school. She'll go to our high school in a full scholarship. And if she continues the education, she will get a college scholarship. And maybe not me, but someone down the line is going to give her her diploma because she fell into the hands of the right people, which is God's people. Amen. I mentioned Mike Houts, the scientist. Mike said to me, he said, you know, 50 years ago, and he tells students this. Well, the first thing he says to students, he says, all these university students, he says, I just want you all to know, this is what he says, that I am so thankful as a scientist that science is catching up with the Bible. Well, does that get their attention? Wow. And so he says, do you know, he gives several examples, but this one stuck with me. He says, you know, 50 years ago, we could read DNA just one way. And he said, if you had said at that time, well, we come from one woman, one man, people, they would have laughed at you. He said, but now because we can read DNA several ways 50 years down the road, that there is a consensus in the science world that we come from one woman and maybe from one man. Hello. We share truth because it was given to us by the Creator. And that truth is relevant globally. And so what I share here and what I share in Africa is the same because it's from that Creator. And let's trust His word. Let's trust Him. And wherever we are, let's continue to hold Him up and glorify Him. So I'm sure there's a song that has been mentioned already. And I just want you to know that passage in Galatians 3:27 where Paul writes, for as many of you to be baptized into Christ that put on Christ. Well, I know baptism is part of that new birth, but my point is that we put on Christ. It's a new life. And that's why I'm so thankful every time we come together that invitation is extended. And it is now as we stand and sing.